Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. And we're here to talk about the old oaken bucket. Indiana's 2023 season is coming to an end. And as always, it's Purdue. This time at Ross-Ade Stadium for the Old Oaken Bucket. We'll go back, talk a little bit about the old brass platoon, what we saw against Michigan State. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, what it means for the program in that regard, and then we'll get into the bucket game. We'll talk matchups to watch, the importance of the bucket, and keys to victory. So, TJ, welcome in. How are you doing? And let's get down to Michigan State. Indiana lost 24-21, lost drops them to 3-8. They lose the spittoon to Michigan State. But yeah, welcome into the show.
Yeah, I mean, just we've kind of talked about this before, and it's definitely applicable the past 2 weeks. Just finding ways to lose. That's what Indiana has done. A lot of things where you look at it and say, well, that's positive, that's positive, that's positive. And then a lot that you look at and say, man, that's frustrating, and we lost. You go back and look at the advanced stats or even just a regular box score of this game, Indiana should have won. They should have won the game.
Yep.
And they find a way to give up in 2 minutes and 47 seconds an 8-play, 75-yard drive that gives Michigan State the lead. And then IU gets in position for a field goal attempt and goes for it on 4th-and-1 to I understand the general line of thinking there with the in-game scenario. It's a long field goal attempt. Chris Freeman, I don't think there's much confidence there in the long range kicking for Freeman. I think they feel really good about him from short to medium, but long range, not much confidence. So 4th-and-1, you elect to go for it. You've run the ball well, particularly in short yardage situations, really all day. Felt confident you could push Michigan State back and get the first down, and they did. And then take a shot to the end zone. E.J. Williams did not get the memo and broke off the route. Thorsby throws to the end zone, which I think was clearly the plan. A pass short there to Williams doesn't really make any sense. So I think Sorsby had the right of it to throw to the end zone. And then the officials, as they are wont to do in an IU football game, make a mind-boggling decision to throw an intentional grounding flag. You're back to a long-range field goal. And of course, at that point, it was just completely expected that that kick was not going to be good. And it was not. So you find a way to lose. The positives from the game, I think you have the continued, I would say, progression of Trent Howland as your kind of go-to back. I thought him and Henderson were both pretty good against Michigan State. That's a good, good 1-2 punch. And Howland moving forward, I think, is a guy you'd feel pretty good about as a member of your backfield in 2024. He had, another touchdown, just a lot of no explosive runs, but a lot of very solid runs. He's a physical runner and is really using his size to his advantage. Now, that Sorsby started out very, very shaky and then settled into the game and ended up playing pretty well outside of the inconsistency with the accuracy at the beginning of that game. I think Donovan McCauley clearly banged up, but he continues to show that when he is healthy, he can be a go-to receiver. And then DeQuise Carter, I think, and EJ Williams as well, continue to come on. And then I have to give a little bit of credit to Rod Carey. I thought that there were a couple of red zone plays that were really well conceived, well drawn up, and well executed, which is something we don't see very often from IU's offense. So credit to Rod Carey. They were both the tight ends, Trey Walker and James Bamba, getting open looks inside of the 10-yard line, and they were well executed as IU kind of used the run game success they had to fake the run, roll Sorsby out of the pocket, which is where he has been at his best, and allow him to just really toss it to the tight ends who more or less walked into the end zone for those plays. Sorsby continuing to use his legs pretty well. He had 85 yards rushing. That is a weapon that I think an Indiana quarterback has to have. Yep. I don't think IU can afford to have a statue, and Sorsby has that. For me, he has shown enough to where you feel pretty good about him being your quarterback in 2024 and beyond. Yep. If he can continue to progress. You know, obviously, yep, he can't just be the player he is today. He's got to continue to progress, but you got to like what you've seen so far out of him. If you keep in mind, he's a redshirt freshman. The biggest concern and disappointment for me is that the secondary has just completely fallen apart. They don't tackle well at all. I mean, the tackling from the secondary is a joke. And then the coverage, I mean, yeah, they didn't give up a record-setting performance to a backup quarterback this week. Yay. Well,
he did get Big Ten Freshman Player of the Week on offense.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look at Caton Hauser's totals before Saturday's game, and these are the games that he started. He had they were kind of splitting quarterbacks early on, but 133, 101, 117, 165, 92. That's bad. That's really bad. We went over Michigan State's offensive numbers. They really had nothing positive on offense coming into this game. And then he throws for 245 with three touchdowns. I mean, IU didn't give up basically anything in the running game to Michigan State. They held the Spartans to 2.3 yards per carry. It was a great job against the running game.
Yep. But
the pass defense was so bad.
Yep. So, and you had bad. another receiver.
Malik Carr looked like a star.
He was named Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week. But yeah, it's the defensive secondary. And, you know, Phillip Dunham got benched in the second half after he failed to secure the tackle and just literally tried to rip the ball out and let the guy go another, whatever, 15, 20 yards for a touchdown. Yep. I get they're missing Noah Pierre back there, and they're missing some, you know, you miss Nick Toomer back there. But, hey, Nick Toomer was healthy against Illinois, and, you know, Noah Pierre – I mean, the pass defense was getting cut up most of the year as well. But let's switch focus to the bucket game, TJ, and talk a little bit about the importance of it. Both teams are coming in at 3-8. You said in your Know Your Opponent, it's the lowest combined record of the two teams since 2014, and we all remember that classic with Xander Diamant pulling the ball out of D'Angelo Roberts' stomach for the game-winning touchdown. But, you know, it's Purdue's also in transition. They brought in Ryan Walters, a hotshot young coach from Illinois, who's, you know, that defense at Illinois last year had a couple pros on it, was statistically the best defense in the country. you know, you have a lot of momentum built up under Jeff Brohm. You went to the Big Ten championship game, and you know, you thought you got the guy to continue it. You bring in some transfers who they thought would work out. It hasn't. They're sitting at 3-8. You know, so for this is a chance for Indiana to put Purdue behind the sticks, in terms of, hey, new coach, and you lost to this Indiana team at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it raises a lot of questions, and like we were talking before the pod, it might be, like you said, might be more damaging to Purdue to lose than helpful for Indiana to win.
Yeah, I think this game, and really you have to look at it in two different lenses. The first lens is Tom Allen coming back regardless of the result in 2024? We don't know that yet. Obviously, if an announcement had been made, that would be the lead story on this podcast and on our site. Don't know. I would hope that IU has made a decision one way or another, and that this, you know, outcome is not going to impact that. If Tom Allen is coming back, then I think the game takes on equal importance for IU as it does for Purdue, because it's the in-state game that really is going to determine, do you have any momentum whatsoever moving forward? If Tom Allen's not coming back, then I think the importance of the game shifts entirely to Purdue. There's already a sense of uneasiness amongst just, I would say, the general Purdue fan base. Obviously, we cannot paint with a broad brush and say, well, every Purdue fan is concerned about Ryan Walters and the future of the program. That we don't know that. But the general consensus appears to be in their online fan message boards, fan websites, Hammer and Rails is their SB Nation site, and they do a pretty good job on that site covering football. There appears to be a general consensus that, look, we signed Ryan Walters to a 6-year deal. That might have been too long. It looks like he's not ready for this. He needed a lower level job as a head coach before being named the head coach of Purdue. We're losing divisions. The schedule is going to be getting harder. There's questions about Purdue's NIL setup. But I think there's very real concerns that Purdue kind of was at the peak of the mountain with Jeff Brohm last year, which again was largely due to the division setup. But hey, I don't blame him for claiming it. And now you don't have Jeff Brohm. He's at Louisville. They're 10-1. And the guy that we have, it doesn't appear to be going very well. So if you beat Indiana, you can say, all right, we won a few Big Ten games. We had a really hard non-conference schedule. Let's get that addressed moving forward. Went 4-8. But we got the win against IU, and we can move forward. And recruiting has gone decently for them. So you could paint a picture that, you know, let's move forward to year two, get our feet under us, and here we go. A loss to this Indiana team, especially if after IU wins, Tom Allen gets let go, that becomes a really, really tough sell for Purdue moving forward into 2024. So it's a big opportunity for IU as a program just to, like you said, really stick Purdue behind the schedule that they would have under Ryan Walters and place some serious doubts about his feasibility moving forward. He's not going to be, you know, on the hot seat or whatever, but I think it would just ratchet up the anxiety for Purdue fans as they move into the offseason. Looking at the matchup, both these teams are 3-8 for a reason. There's not a whole lot that either one of them do all that well. For Purdue, biggest question mark right off the bat is going to be who's playing quarterback. You know, Hudson Card sat out the Northwestern game. He was kind of a late scratch. A rib injury was the report. Don't know what his status is going to be, but I would assume that he would play. He was not listed as out until right before that Northwestern game, so I don't think it's a long-term thing, but we'll see. They did rotate two different quarterbacks in their last contest against Northwestern, which was a 23-15 defeat. Bennett Meredith and Ryan Brown, both of them very raw, very inexperienced. Ryan Brown was the much better of the two. He wasn't great, particularly throwing the ball, but he did have 85 yards rushing. They kept the ball on the ground pretty much all game. Ended up getting 439 yards of offense, and that's because of 303 yards on the ground. And I think you're going to see more of the same if Hudson Card doesn't play. You're going to see them try to do more of the same. Even though IU's secondary appears to be where you should attack, I do think that Purdue without Hudson Card would just try to pound the ball. Two good running backs, Tyrone Tracy and Devin Maccabee. Maccabee ran wild on the Hoosiers previously, so I would think the IU defense would want to get some factor of revenge there. I think that if Hudson Card doesn't play, it's a matchup that does work into IU's favor some, because I think that the run defense for the Hoosiers has been pretty solid. I think if Hudson Card does play, you're looking at potentially another very big day through the air for an opponent. And my guess is if Hudson Card is close to good to go, he's going to do whatever he can to get on the field, because he is probably licking his chops to put up some big numbers.
Yeah, and the Purdue's loss to Northwestern wasn't as close as the score indicated. You know, Northwestern was up 23-7. Purdue scored a touchdown with 3:06 left in that game. And, you know, good for Northwestern. They've overcome a lot, but Purdue also put up 443 yards, but they turned the ball over four times. And that's something that IU has kind of done better over the last few weeks since the Penn State game, is take the ball away from opponents. They got two at Illinois. They got two last week, although they gave it right back against Michigan State. And then they got a couple against Wisconsin as well, along with some fourth down stops. So, you know, that's one key to the game, is, and especially in a rivalry game like this, is who's going to give the ball away. And right now, Purdue's giving the ball away. IU's offense under Sorsby has taken care of the ball pretty well. I know they lost two turnovers against Illinois as well. One of them was on an overthrow that should have been called a holding, and then the other was a fixable mistake in, you know, the mesh point handoff to Josh Henderson. But it could come down to takeaways and turnovers, and Indiana has been getting hot in that category on defense. Even in the secondary, which has been plagued the last couple weeks, giving up big plays, they have been able to get those interceptions that they were not getting against Maryland, Rutgers in the middle of the season there.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting because the secondary has forced some turnovers, which is the positive. But looking at what just wide open guys in the secondary, I'll give credit to Michigan State's receivers, Malik Carr and Montori Foster. They made some really tough catches. Credit to them. But I think by and large, the secondary, mainly the safety play, just has got to get better. I don't think that IU's safeties take good angles on plays when they are playing the ball. They do not tackle well at all. And then the corner play seems to me, and this is an amateur analyst here talking, but it does seem to me like there are far too many times when IU's corners are playing very soft coverage and just allowing quick slants or quick outs for easy passes to opposing quarterbacks for 10 to 15 yards. I don't know if they're worried about getting burnt deep, if they don't trust the safety play, so they have to play deep and soft coverage on as the corners. I don't know what the reasoning is for it, but I think that a secondary part of those completions is that opposing quarterbacks get really comfortable.
Yep.
They get into rhythm. And that allows for those harder passes down the field to become a little easier because they've had success with these easy 10-yard routes because IU's corners are playing so far back. And again, is that a talent issue? Is that a safety issue that they don't trust it? Over the top, is that a coaching thing that that's exactly how they're being told to play coverage? We don't know, but it has not worked whatsoever. And Purdue, definitely not the level of receiver that they had under Jeff Brohm. I think we can say that definitively. It's a group that I think leaves quite a bit to be desired. For instance, I think Donovan McCauley is better than any receiver that Purdue has. But Deion Burks is a good player. He's definitely their go-to target. 7 touchdowns on the year. He's averaging right around 4 catches per game. And then PJ Sheffield is fine as a veteran, you know, receiver. They don't use the tight end as much as they did under Brohm. The guy on offense that I'd actually most be concerned about is Tyrone Tracy. I think that he's really kind of been able to come into his own. He's averaging 6.55 yards a carry. He's up to 8 touchdowns on the year now. And he's a decent threat out of the backfield. So I think that's a guy that Indiana has to be aware of consistently. They will move him around some. They've got to be aware of where he is on the field, not let him get those explosive plays. If you can make Purdue's offense like drive down the field with long drives, they're probably going to screw something up. I don't think that they can, you know, move it effectively on you for a, say, 12 to 15 play drive. I don't think they can do that very often. But, you know, are they capable of having a 5-play drive where they get a 50-yard play, you know, a big chunk play in there? Absolutely. So that's Indiana's going to have to be ready for that. But again, the personnel of Purdue does not scare you. It's IU's total ineffectiveness at the back end of the defense that scares you.
Yeah, and Deion Burks against IU secondary, and I might now include Tyrone Tracy, who's been playing at running back. It is my matchup to watch. Burks started off the year, you know, on fire in the 5 games in August and September, or in September, he had 20 receptions, 377 yards, 4 touchdowns. It kind of went cold in October, only 9 catches, 49 yards and a touchdown. It's starting to pick that back up in November, 11 catches, 116 yards, 2 touchdowns. And what stood out to me was his long touchdown against Fresno State in the opener. Basically one of those quick slants, bounces off a tackler, dodges another tackle, and he's gone to the end zone. So he's a guy you're going to have to tackle well. And then also, you know, that also goes to the guys up front as well. You have to put pressure on the quarterback. And you saw it when IU brought pressure and put pressure on Caden Hauser. He threw the ball away. Same when they got pressure on Paddock. It just, you heat these guys up, they start to make decisions, it throws off, and you got to help your secondary, you know, with that as well. So it's it's we'll see what Indiana's health report is coming out. You hope that Nick Toomer comes back. I don't know. I don't know when he got injured against Illinois. He didn't look like he had a limp or anything against Michigan State when he came out for senior day in street clothes. So I don't know if he's just, hey, wrapping it up, calling on a career, or if he's going to put it on, you know, put the pads back on for the bucket game. But guys like Kobe Miner need to step up. He's played pretty well. You finally saw Jameer Johnson come back. He's been out basically the entire year after the Ohio State game. So, you know, hopefully he gets back into the rotation. And then, you know, Jamari Sharp and Jordan Shaw have shown their youth in there as well. And we'll see if Phillip Dunham plays because, you know, Tom Allen benched him. I mean, it took, what, 6 years and 10 games? Or 6 years and 11 games to bench a guy? So that's my matchup to watch is Deion Burks and the rest of the Boilermaker wide receiver group against Indiana's, you know, big play secondary. So what's your matchup to watch, TJ?
Yeah, and I think that is the obvious one to go with. I'm going to go with Brennan Sorsby and his continued growth and development against the Purdue defense. I think that this is a unit that can definitely be had. Purdue on the year, I just lost my note. Good podcasting right here, everybody. I'm in mid-season form.
Oh, that's the end of the season.
Here we go. Okay. Purdue giving up 384 yards a game. So that places them 66th in the country. They are the definition of average, I would say, as a defense. And that those numbers come against a schedule that features a lot of Big Ten West offenses. So I think that Indiana should, in theory, be able to have some success against this defense. And I kind of like watching Brennan Sorsby play. He plays hard. He runs the ball well. What you're looking for is just consistency with his accuracy. And I do think that his biggest problems have come just as a set pocket passer. It seems that he is at his best when Indiana is moving the pocket and letting him use his legs to get outside of the pocket and either make a decision to run or to throw. I think he's generally made really good decisions. We even saw a couple of read options where he read the mesh correctly and, you know, made good decisions to get out of the pocket, keep the ball, and get significant plays against Michigan State. So that was progress. I think he's gotten better at that. And that was kind of the proof of it. Again, though, it was just, he was making good decisions, throwing to the right guys and just missing the throw. That didn't happen all game. He did settle down, but it was at the start of the game where he really missed at least one touchdown and possibly two, that guys were open with a lot of room in front of them and he just missed. So you're looking for that continued progression of Brennan Sorsby, and it's against a Purdue secondary that I think is very average. So I think Sorsby could have himself a nice day on Saturday against the Boilers. That's going to be my matchup to watch. And again, mainly it's because that's what I'm most interested in seeing moving forward is Brennan Sorsby, because I do think that's a guy that you could have leading your program. Regardless of who the head coach is, you could feel good about leading the program next season.
Yeah, let's quickly get into keys to an Indiana win. TJ, what's one thing that Indiana has to do to come out victorious with the bucket on Saturday?
They have got to do a better job in, and we've been talking about the pass coverage. So let's get off of that dead horse and pressuring the quarterback. You mentioned it briefly. One of the best ways to help your secondary is to pressure the quarterback. IU has not done that consistently enough. You're talking guys like Linnell Carr, Andre Carter, Anthony Jones. I mean, whoever you need to scheme to get in that opposing backfield, I think IU's got to have it. You've got to create those havoc plays as a defense. And Purdue's offensive line is not one that should be able to block IU's defensive front and keep them from getting some sacks. So that's one that Indiana's got to do. If you get this Purdue offense way behind schedule with a sack or a holding penalty, that is not something that offense can recover from easily. So I like that as a key to Indiana's victory is getting consistent pressure in the opposing backfield.
Yeah, mine kind of off the beaten path, but has been talked about a lot, especially in our group chat, is how both of these teams handle momentum. Right now, Indiana seems allergic to momentum, and every time they have a chance to either tack on a score or get the go-ahead score or score and then need a stop on defense, it seems like they give that momentum right back. Last week we saw it with the interception and then immediately fumbled back. So it's how do you handle momentum? Purdue, too, there's a reason they're 3-8. Can they handle a momentum swing as well, or are they going to give it right back? So that's my key number one. What's a second key for an Indiana victory on Saturday, TJ?
I think that IU has to take advantage of red zone opportunities. And that is going to be on defense and on offense. The defense has to execute better in the red zone. Teams are scoring above 92% of their opportunities in the red zone. They're converting on IU for points. That is right near the bottom of the country. And then on offense, IU has been much better in red zone offense. They're actually 100% in their last three games. Very impressed with Brendan Sorsby's ability in the red zone. So that's got to continue. Indiana needs to capitalize in the red zone on offense and do better in the red zone on defense. Purdue, not a good red zone offense. They were stopped twice inside the 1 yard line against Northwestern. So I think Indiana's got to win that red zone battle to come out on top.
All right, and my final key to the game, again, is takeaways and turnovers. Indiana has done a pretty good job lately of getting those takeaways and turnovers. They need to continue to do that, and especially in a rivalry game, when you're looking to get momentum, those turnovers swing the game. In a game where both fan bases are frustrated and you'll hear the moans and groans and all of those things, they'll go a long way. But yeah, it's always in a game that is close between teams of equal talent, and things like that. Indiana and Purdue are also right there at 9-10 in turnover margin. Indiana's at -2, Purdue's at -3. IU has gained 13 takeaways, 3 fumbles, 10 interceptions. Purdue at 15. 8 fumbles, 7 interceptions, but they have given it away 18 times as well. And we'll see if Hudson Card plays. He has thrown a lot of interceptions this year as well. And then, of course, if he doesn't play, you have 2 freshman quarterbacks who, you know, if you put pressure on them, will probably make a mistake. So let's get into predictions, TJ. What's your prediction for Saturday?
It is impossible for me to pick Indiana with the way that they have continued to give away games. So I'm going to go with the home team here to win. Purdue takes the bucket game, and I will go with a score of 24-21 as Indiana wins statistically and loses on the scoreboard.
Wow. I find it hard to pick Purdue. But
no, I do too. I think they're terrible. It's a really bad football team. but, you know, I don't know. Michigan State's a really bad football team, too. And we lost to them. So I don't
know. Yeah,
it is sad.
It is, you know, Purdue's gone through some hard times. They've lost five out of the last six games. Their only win was a 49-30 win over Minnesota, which, look, offensively, they look great. Defensively, if you're giving up 30 points to Minnesota, you've got problems. But Indiana's defense also has problems. However, and I'll put a caveat in there. If Hudson Card plays, I think Purdue wins. If Hudson Card is out, I think Indiana takes it. You know, again, 27-24 in a ugly mosh pit of a game, but it's important for both teams. Probably a little bit more important for Purdue to win than IU to win, but and a loss for Purdue could be devastating to the psyche of that program, sitting at 2-6, 3-8. For Indiana, whatever happens after this game, to know that you have the bucket, a little bit of momentum going into the offseason, and whatever happens, it's you always want to end the season on a win, especially over your most hated rival. And so if Hudson Card plays, I think Purdue wins 31-21. And then if Hudson Card doesn't play, I think Indiana takes it 27-24. So that's it. That's a wrap.
Yep. And then, look, regardless of what happens on the field against Purdue, it's going to be a very interesting offseason. There could be a coaching change. There could not. But either way, there will be lots of roster activity with the transfer portal, with graduations, with incoming recruiting, outgoing. I mean, I think that there's just going to be a lot of things to pay attention to. We will be covering all of it. So, yes, I know, terribly frustrating season, and thinking about 2024 football might be the last thing some of you are interested in, but it is going to be a very meaningful and interesting few weeks one way or the other.
Yes, it is. And we've already seen programs pull the plug on several coaches. And, you know, the transfer portal opens up on December 4th. You have early signing period on December 20th. So it is going to be a busy offseason. So stick with us at HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Indiana plays the final game of the season up at Purdue at Ross-Ade Stadium. It'll be at noon kickoff on Big Ten Network. Again, thanks for sticking with us all season. And we look forward to covering the offseason for you guys. TJ, again, thanks for an awesome season of podcasting. And, you know, enjoy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And then happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners as well.
Yep. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We appreciate you. We are thankful. How about that? We are thankful for you listeners and readers. Beat Purdue.